Once again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley in Oregon in the United States, and I bring you some good news, great news. The news isn't that we're winning a political battle. The good news is that we lose political battles. It isn't that we are on top of everything. The good news is that sometimes everything is on top of us. But I have news for you. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So when the day comes that I lay down this life, I have a kingdom to step into. Jesus said, "In my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you." Isn't it wonderful that Jesus will introduce us to the mansion in which we shall live? I have a mansion just over the hilltop. Jesus has prepared it, and Jesus has bought it. There is no mortgage to pay. It is mine because God has given it to me. It is yours because God, in his great generosity, has said, "Come unto me, all of you that are heavy laden, and let me rest you." And the picture is that of a woman holding a child, resting her child, and she rocks the child in her arms. That's the picture Jesus drew to his disciples and all who were listening that day when Jesus said, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest." The Greek says, "and I will rest you." What a joy it is to be able to rest in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy and great privilege it is that we have to come into the presence of God. Jesus gave us this, and he gave us a place to live that we might ever live with him, that he would be our wonderful Savior, presenting us to God as washed in his blood and filled with his Spirit. What a picture this conjures up in an artist's mind. Oh, I wish I was such an artist that I could picture all this and place it together and paint the picture. It is truly beautiful to be in the arms of Jesus, presented to this great mansion that we receive individually. What a careful God. What a caring God. What a gracious God. He looks after you. He looks after me. We are looked after forever and forever. So, when we suffer, understand that when we suffer for righteousness' sake, we are, in other words, suffering because the Lord Jesus has called us. We have to understand that the Lord Jesus wore a crown of thorns for me. Why then should I not wear this same crown, however dreadful it may be? It's okay to suffer. It's okay. It's okay to have pain so excruciating that all you want to do is lay down and cry. It's okay. Don't worry. Jesus will not leave you nor forsake you. He will not let you go. He will keep you and will hold you if you will rest in his arms. So we have something to consider. Consider for whom we suffer. It is for Christ. And we cannot suffer for a better friend. Many a man will suffer shame and death for his lusts. He will suffer disgrace for a drunken lust. He will suffer death for a revengeful lust. Shall others die for their lusts? And shall not we die for Christ? Will a man suffer for the lust which damns him? And shall not we suffer for Christ, which saves us? Let's remember, we espouse God's own quarrel, and he will not suffer us to be losers. If no man shall kindle a fire on God's altar for naught, says Malachi 1 and verse 10, then surely no man shall sacrifice himself for God in the fire for naught. It is a great honor to suffer persecution. One of the older gentlemen of the past, talking of somebody who was martyred in England, he said, "I will say this of her, she was a martyr. It is a great honor to be singled out to bear witness for the truth." They departed from the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Acts 5 and verse 41. It is a title that has been given to kings, defender of the faith. A martyr is, in a special manner, a defender of the faith. Kings are defenders of the faith by their swords. Martyrs use their blood. It's important to understand all this, or at least come to grips with it. People that are martyred or who suffer are not only Christ's followers, but they are the bearers of a great banner. The Romans had their banners, and the brave warriors carried them into the field of battle. God calls out none but his champions to fight his battles. We read that Abraham called forth his trained soldiers in Genesis 14 and verse 14, such as were expert and valiant. What an honor it is to be of Christ's trained band. The disciples dreamed of a temporal reign, Acts 1 and verse 6. Christ tells them in verse 8, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, to bear witness by their sufferings to the truth of Christ's divinity. And passion was a greater honor to the disciples than to have had a temporal reign upon earth. A bloody cross is more honorable than a purple robe. Persecution is called the fiery trial, according to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. God has two fires, one where he puts his gold and the other where he puts his dross. The fire where he puts his dross is hell fire. The fire where he puts his gold is the fire of persecution. God honors his gold when he puts it into the fire. A spirit of glory rests upon you. To get that and to understand it, you need to read two scriptures, 1 Peter 1:7 and 1 Peter 4:14. Persecution, as it is a badge of honor, it is also an ensign of our glory. What greater honor can be put upon a mortal man than to stand up in the cause of God, and not only to die in the Lord, but to die for the Lord? The Apostle Paul gloried more in his iron chain than he did as if it had been a golden chain. Acts 28 and verse 20, you can read that. Consider what Jesus Christ endured for us. The great theologian Calvin says that Christ's whole life was a series of sufferings. Christian, what is your suffering? Are you poor? So was Christ. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Matthew 8 and verse 20 tells us. Are you surrounded with enemies? So was Christ, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles were gathered together. Acts 4:27. Do your enemies lay claim to some religion? So did his. The chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. Matthew 27 and verse 6. Godly persecutors, are you reproached? So was Christ. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews! Read Matthew 27:29. Are you slandered? Ah, so was Christ. He casteth out devils through the prince of devils, they said. Matthew 9 and 34. Are you badly used? So was Christ. They began to spit upon him. Mark 14:65. Are you betrayed by friends? So was Christ. Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Luke 22 and verse 48. Is your estate sequestered, and do the wicked cast lots for it? So Christ was dealt with. They parted his garments, casting lots. Matthew 27, verse 35. Do we suffer unjustly? So did Christ. His very judge acquitted him. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Luke 23 and verse 4. Are you barbarously dragged and haled away to suffering? So was Christ. When they had bound him, though he came to loose them, they led him away. Matthew 27 verse 2. Do you suffer death? So did Christ. When they were come to Calvary, there they crucified him. Luke 23 and verse 33. They gave him gall and vinegar to drink, the one deciphering the bitterness, the other the sharpness of his death. Christ underwent not only the blood of the cross, but the curse of the cross. Galatians 3:13. He had an agony in his soul. My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Matthew 26 and verse 38. The soul of Christ was overcast as a cloud of God's displeasure. The Greek church, speaking of the sufferings of Christ, calls them unknown sufferings. Did the Lord Jesus endure all this for us? And shall not we suffer persecution for his name? I am willing to die for Christ. For Christ my love was crucified. Our cup is nothing to the cup which Christ drank. This cup was mixed with the wrath of God. And if he bore God's wrath for us, well may we bear man's wrath for him. Now, another thought here is that great is the honor we bring to Christ and the gospel by suffering. It was an honor to Caesar that he had such soldiers as were able to fight with hunger and cold and to endure hardship in their marches. It is an honor to Christ that he has such listed under him as will leave all for him. It proclaims him to be a good master when his servants will wear iron chain. The gospel is made that iron chain into a golden chain. What glory was this to the truth when they dared embrace the flame of martyrdom? As the saints' sufferings adorn the gospel, so they propagate the gospel. The zeal and constancy of martyrs in the primitive times made some of the heathens to be Christianized. The church is founded in blood, and by blood it increases. The showers of blood have ever made the church fruitful. Paul's being bound made the truth more enlarged. Philippians 1:13. The gospel has always flourished in the ashes of suffering. Consider who it is that we have engaged ourselves in baptism. There we took our press money, if you like. We solemnly vowed that we would be true to Christ's interest and fight it out under his banner to the death. And how often have we, in the blessed time when we have communion together, taken the oath of allegiance to Jesus Christ our Lord, that we should be his liege servants, and that death should not part us. Now when being called to it, we refuse to suffer persecution for his name. Christ will bring our baptism as an indictment against us. Christ is called the captain of our salvation. Hebrews 2:10. We have listed ourselves by name under his captaincy. Now if, for fear, we shall fly from our colors and fly away from the terrible things that will cause us to suffer, it is perjury in the highest degree. And how shall we be able to look Christ in the face at some other day? That oath which is not kept shall be punished infallibly. Where does the flying roll of curses light? But at the house of him that sweareth falsely. Zechariah 5:4. Our sufferings are light, according to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. This light affliction, it is heavy to flesh and blood. It is light to faith. Affliction is light in a threefold respect. It is light in comparison to sin. He that feels sin heavy feels suffering light. Sin made Paul cry out, O wretched man that I am, in Romans 7:24. He does not cry out because of his iron chain, but of his sin. The greater noise drowns the lesser. When the sea roars, the rivers are silent. He that is taken up about his sins and sees how he has provoked God thinks of the yoke of affliction, and that it is light. Micah 7 and verse 9. Second thing, affliction is light in comparison to hell. What is persecution to damnation? What is the fire of suffering, martyrdom even, to the death of the damned? It is no more than the pricking of a pin to a death's wound. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Asks Psalm 90 and verse 11. Christ himself could not have borne that anger had he not been more than a man. The third thing, affliction is light in comparison to glory. The weight of glory makes persecution light. Torments of all men in the world could be laid upon one man. It were not worth one hour's being in heaven. But if persecution be light, we should in a manner set light by it. Let us neither faint through unbelief nor fret through impatience. Our sufferings are short. After ye have suffered a little while, 1 Peter 5:10 tells us, or as it is in the Greek, a little, after ye have suffered a little. Our sufferings may be lasting, not everlasting. Affliction is compared to a cup in Lamentations 4:21. The wicked drink of a sea of wrath, which has no bottom. It will never be emptied, but it is only a cup of martyrdom for those that love God and who will say, with Jesus let this cup pass away. The rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Psalm 125 and verse 3. The rod may be there, it shall not rest. Christ calls his sufferings an hour in Luke 22 and verse 53. Can we not suffer 1 hour? Persecution is sharp but short, though it has a sting to torment, yet it has a wing to fly. Sorrow shall fly away. Isaiah 35 and verse 10 tells us. It is but a while when the saints will have a writ of ease granted to them. They shall weep no more, suffer no more. They shall be taken off the torturing rack and laid in Christ's bosom. The people of God shall not always be in the iron furnace. The year of Jubilee will come. The water of persecution, like a land flood, will soon be dried up. While we suffer for Christ, we suffer with Christ. If we suffer with him, says Romans 8:17, Jesus Christ bears part of the suffering with us. Oh, says the Christian, I shall never be able to hold out. But remember, you suffer with Christ. He helps you to suffer. As our blessed Saviour said, I am not alone, the Father is with me. Read John 16 and verse 32. So a believer may say, I am not alone, my Christ, my blessed Saviour is with me. He bears the heaviest end of the cross. My grace is sufficient for thee. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. If Christ shall put the yoke of persecution upon us, he will put his arms underneath us. The Lord Jesus will not only crown us when we conquer, but will enable us to conquer. when the dragon fights against the godly, Christ is that Michael which stands up for them and helps them to overcome. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. He that refuses to suffer persecution shall never be free from suffering. There's internal sufferings. He that will not suffer for conscience shall suffer in conscience. After a person has a fear and they reject doctrine that once they professed, they become a traitor of mind and become a very difficult person to deal with. They become like a creature. He professed he felt the very pains of the damned in his soul is one who suffered in this way. In what he said, he who was afraid of the stake was set upon the rack of conscience. There are external sufferings. The external sufferings are awful. Don't let me give the impression that I belittle this. But sometimes people refuse to suffer for Christ. And it's curious how one man, for instance, refused to suffer for the Lord Jesus, but not long after his house was on fire and he was burned in it. He who would not burn for Christ was afterwards made to burn for his sins. External sufferings. Suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Jude 7 tells us this. The present sufferings cannot hinder a man from being blessed. Blessed are they that are persecuted. We think blessed are they that are rich. And sometimes we say, blessed are they that are persecuted. But blessed is the man that endures temptation, James 1:12 says. If ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, says 1 Peter 3:14. Persecution cannot hinder us from being blessed. I shall seek to prove this with Scripture, but there isn't very much time left in this program. But I will tell you this, that persecution cannot hinder us from being blessed, because God has said, happy is the people whose God is the Lord, in Psalm 144 and verse 15. But the persecution cannot hinder us from having God for our God. Our God is able to deliver us, Daniel 3:17 says. Though persecuted, yet they could only say, our God. Therefore persecution cannot hinder us from being blessed. A person is blessed whom God loves, but persecution cannot hinder the love of God. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall persecution? Asks the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 and verse 35. The goldsmith loves his gold as well as when it is in the fire as when it is in his bag. God loves his children as well in adversity as in prosperity. As many as I love, I rebuke, Revelation 3:19 says. God visits his children in prison. Be of good cheer, Paul, Acts 23 and verse 11. God sweetens their sufferings as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth. 2 Corinthians 1:5. As the mother, having given her child a bitter pill, takes it afterwards in a lump of sugar. Persecution is a bitter pill that God gives and comforts of his Spirit to sweeten it. If persecution cannot hinder God's love, then it cannot hinder us from being blessed. They are blessed for whom Christ prays. But such as are persecuted have Christ praying for them. Keep through thine own name those thou hast given me, says Jesus in John 17 and verse 11. That prayer, though made for all believers, yet especially for his apostles, whom he had foretold should be martyrs, John 16 and verse 2. Now if persecution cannot hinder Christ's prayer for us, then it cannot impede or obstruct our blessedness. They are blessed that have sin purged out. Persecution purges out sin. Isaiah 27 verse 9 and Romans 12 and verse 11. Persecution is a corrosive that eats out the proud flesh. It is a fan to winnow us, a fire to refine us. Persecution is the psychic God applies to his children to carry away their ill humors, that surely which purges out sin cannot hinder blessedness. I must stop, but I wanted to share that with you. Now, trust this Lord Jesus who says you're spiritually prosperous if you come to this place where you trust the Lord. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and nobody, absolutely nobody, can take it from us. Lord Jesus, when we come to your kingdom, let it be because you have done a wonderful work in us. Bless everyone listening, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Lord, will you be with us and bless us? Thank you for listening. Bye-bye. God bless. Thank you.